story really begins 90 years ago. The 14th of Kislev, 1928, was the wedding day of Menachem Mendel Schneerson and Chaya Mushka Schneerson. Chaya Mushka was the younger daughter of the Friedeke Rebbe, the Rebbe Rav Yosef Yitzchak, the Rebbe Riatz, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, and she was marrying a distant cousin, Menachem Mendel Schneerson, whose father, Lev Yitzchak Schneerson, was a great tzaddik, Mekubal Rav in Russia, who couldn't actually, his parents did not attend his chasana, they couldn't get out of Russia to be able to go to their son's chasana in Varsha. This wedding was being touted as like the Jewish wedding of the century. Secular newspapers sent reporters to cover this. There were people from America. Again, 1928, there were people who were traveling from America to be by this chasana. And so they were expecting 100,000 people to show up for the chuppah, maybe more, maybe less. In terms of how many people were actually invited to the Suda after the chuppah, so that was only a couple of thousand. One of the people that got that invitation, his name was Rav Menachem Zemba. Rav Menachem Zemba himself was not a Rebbe, although many said he could have been one of the biggest Rebbes, but he was a Ger Chassid. He was a Chassid of the Imre Emes, the third of the Ger Rebbes, and he was an unbelievable Talmud Chacham, like incredible genius, incredible, incredible Gaon. And he actually had a close personal relationship with the Friedeke Rebbe, the Rebbe Riatz. And so Rav Menachem Zemba was invited to the chasana, and he brought along his son, a nephew of his, brought him along like as a bar mitzvah present, a nephew of his that was very into Rebbes, very into this whole scene, was like really taken by it, and, you know, separate seating wedding, he wasn't going with his wife, you know, where was his wife going to go? So he brought his nephew together with him. And it was the day before the chasana, they went to go greet the Friedeke Rebbe, so it was Yud Gimel Kislev, 1928, 90 years ago. And when they went to the Friedeke Rebbe gave Rav Menachem Zemba an incredibly warm embrace. Immediately the two began discussing Torah. Rav Menachem Zemba says, I hope it's okay, I brought my nephew with me to be Milavami. He wanted to meet the Rebbe. So Rav Menachem Zemba's nephew got a big welcome by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he said, by the way, you know, before you go, you're really not here for me, you're really here for my son-in-law. He told Rav Menachem Zemba, you should know my son-in-law, he's already a gon in Nigla and Ister, in the revealed Torah and the hidden Torah. He's really a unique person. You should go to the chasan and get a bracha. Okay, where was he? He told them where to find Rav Menachem Mendel. And so they go to the chasan, Rav Menachem Mendel Schneerson, and he sees Rav Menachem Zemba, he jumps up, Rav Menachem Zemba is with the Gaone Hador. He welcomes him, thank you so much, coming to my chasana. They shmuzel, and he says, you know, the Rebbe said I should come and get a bracha from you. Who am I to give a bracha to Rav Menachem Zemba? But alti birkas hadit kala b'necha, the bracha of simple Jews to be taken seriously. So he gave Rav Menachem Zemba a bracha. He says, who is this? This is my nephew, gives him a bracha. And he says, I want to share one idea with you. You know why the fifth night of Chanukah is holier than any other night? Because the fifth night of Chanukah is the only night that can never fall out on Friday night. Every other night of Chanukah theoretically could fall out on Friday night. The fifth night, based on our calendar, is the only night that can ever fall on Friday night. By the way, that's why many people have a minig of giving Chanukah gelt on the fifth night. That was a minig of the Stipler and many others. They gave Chanukah gelt, but dafka on the fifth night. But the Rebbe continued, we know that Kabbalah and Hasidus teach us that Chanukah has the ability to bring back the neshamas that are mamish in the lowest, darkest places. The neshamas that are furthest away from the Ribbono Shel Olam, Chanukah has the koach to bring them back. Right? That the word nefesh, ner, psila shemen, right? Psila shemen, that's the nefesh of the person. Mamish Chanukah. But every other night of Chanukah has a little bit of assistance from the Kiddush of Shabbos. There's a little Kiddush of Shabbos in every night of Chanukah, except for the fifth night. So it means that the fifth night has the Kiddusha all on its own. whether you're in Warsaw or London, the fifth night of Hanukkah can mamish bring you back. Bring back the lowest, furthest neshamas. Mazel tov, mazel tov. Okay? So it was a nice vart. It, after all, was Yud Gimel Kislev. It was 2 weeks away, a little over 2 weeks away from the fifth night of Hanukkah. Nice idea. Okay. Fast forward many years. In these interim years, Rav Menachem Zemba himself becomes the spiritual leader of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, when there was a whole debate whether or not the Jews should actually fight against the Nazis. And there was literally a meeting of the heads of all the different groups that were in the ghetto at the time. Rav Menachem Zemba went and he addressed them and said, urged them to carry out the revolt against the Nazis. He urged them that they should. And Rav Menachem Zemba himself was killed during the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. He was the Nazis when they were trying to get to find out where the Jews were hiding, and the Jews were running from place to place. Eventually, the Nazis started going and just torching the buildings. And Rav Menachem Zemba's family was hiding in one building. It was trying to cut across an alleyway to get to a safe building. And Rav Menachem Zemba was holding one of his grandsons in his arms, huddled up close against him. And he misinterpreted a sign. Someone in his family was telling him to stop. He thought he was signaling to go. He ran into the alleyway right to a Nazi. And the Nazi killed Rav Menachem Zemba and his grandson together. Rav Menachem Zemba's body has since been moved actually to Eretz Yisrael. He's buried on Har Menuchos. Rav Menachem Zemba's nephew, again, 1928, around Bar Mitzvah age, Hasidish, a boy, a ger, young man. So by the time the war happened, he was married and had a number of children. He lost his wife and all his kids in the war, Rav Menachem Zemba's nephew. He is in a DP camp after the war in Germany. And like so many survivors, he really just didn't know where to turn to next. He heard the stories of survivors that had gone back to try and reclaim their homes and what happened to a lot of them. They were killed. There was a professor at NYU that published a book about this a couple of years back, about how many thousands of Jews were killed after the war when they went back to their hometowns to try and reclaim what was theirs. And so he heard these stories. He wasn't going to try and go back to his hometown. And he didn't know. Eretz Yisrael, America, those were really the two major choices. Eretz Yisrael at the time, people were not being allowed in, but there were people risking their lives going against the British blockade and were making it into Eretz Yisrael, getting smuggled in. The other possibility was America. He didn't know what to do. And one day he gets a letter in a DP camp, because we know that to get to America, people needed sponsors, and Jewish publications were just listing names of people that Jews were just reading to see if they saw a name they recognized to try and sponsor them. He gets a letter in a DP camp from a person who says that, I saw your name, Zemba. If you're related to Rav Menachem Zemba, the Gaon, the Tzaddik, then you're my cousin. My family, my mother was a sister to Menachem Zemba. My family left to America in between the wars. I want to sponsor you. Just to let you know about me, I'm Shomer Shabbos. I have my own business. I live in Borough Park. There's actually a small Ger Shtibel where I daven. And, keep fully kosher. And I would very much want to invite you into our home, into my business, place to stay, place to live. I want to be your sponsor. And so when he got that letter, he saw that Mamish is a Siman Min HaShemayim. It was a Siman Min HaShemayim that this is where he's supposed to go, and he goes to America. And when he's in America, the cousin brings him in, and Mamish Ben Bais. This cousin opens up his home to him. This cousin is married with children. He opens up his home, his own room. He takes him into the business. They catch up. They remember each other from years earlier. They were both much younger. They remember each other from years earlier. And his cousin's wife, family, incredible, incredible chesed. And he's living there. It's a couple of years. And one Friday night, after his cousin would learn with all his kids, the two of them would sit down to mamash learn till the late hours of the night, early hours of the morning. And, you know, he sat down with his Gemara, opened it up, and his cousin sits down with his wife next to him. This is a little strange. Cousin didn't open up the Gemara yet. And the cousin says, before we learn, I just have a few questions for you. He says, did we ever make you feel uncomfortable? That you are a chesed project, like what we did for you was tzedakah. He said, no, you never made me feel uncomfortable. Always retained my dignity. He says, have we ever asked you for anything? For money, anything? Did we ever make you feel like, you know, you were taking something from ours? And he said, no, not at all. I've tried to pay. He goes, no, 100%. I know what you felt, but have we ever? No, chas v'shalom. You've only showed me, says, the greatest kindness. I mamish have the deepest hakara satov, chiyuv to pay you back any way possible. So they said, we have to ask one thing from you. We want to ask you to do something for us. And this is how you can repay us for what we've done for you. And he says, whatever you say, okay, just, it's done, whatever you say. He said, we want you to go out on a date. He says, what? They say to him, you're not an old man. You're not 40 yet. You're still a young man. We can't imagine the Gehenna you've lived through. We hear you screaming at nights, sometimes with the nightmares. But you're not an old man. You can have your own family. You can get married. Look, please understand, we're not kicking you out, Chalila v'chas. You want to stay here, la'olam v'ed, you're part of our home, you're my mishpacha, you're like my brother, you're here with us, no problem. But it doesn't have to be this way. We know it's so difficult for you, but please, if you have any akar satov for us, we want you to go out on a date. We want you just to try. And he says that, you know what, he knew his cousins were right. He knew they were right. And he says he knows he wasn't an old man. He saw his cousin, you know, benching his kids every Friday night. He knew it was something that he wanted to do once again. And he said, okay, you know, I will. And they said, great, you have a date tomorrow night. He's like, what? He said that there's a woman who's a survivor from a Hasidisha family, lost her husband and kids. She lives with cousins in Cincinnati. She's in New York for a week, staying by some other cousins. We heard amazing things about her. You have a date tomorrow night. We set it up. We knew you wouldn't say no to us. Okay? He goes out Motzei Shabbos, you know, to say he's nervous was an understatement. Cousin's wife stayed up for him till he comes back. Comes back late at night, and they said, how was it? And he said, it was a disaster. She started crying to me. I cried to her. We basically spent hours crying to each other, telling each other our stories. And they're like, oh, man, we're sorry. He's like, no. It was important. It was good. Clearly, she's a special person. We're spending tomorrow with each other. And the next day, they spend the whole day. They go to the Prospect Park. They hang out. They go to the zoo there. They spend time. And every day after work, he goes to spend time with her. That next Shabbos, they actually share seudos with one another. Sunday, he takes her to the train station. She goes back to Cincinnati. And he comes back. He's miserable a few days. And his cousin tells him, what are you doing? Like, no, you know, time's marching. And he said, you're right. He gets on a train, goes to Cincinnati, and proposes. And they're getting ready to get married. And, you know, they're preparing their chasana. And he says, you know, by this time, the Friedeker Rebbe was very not well. The Rebbe Riatz was very, very ill, very, very sick. So late 1940s. And he really, he would want to ask the Rebbe Riatz to be Masada Kiddushin, because his first Masada Kiddushin was his uncle, Hashem Yim Kam Damo. The Rebbe Riatz was very close to his uncle. And he decides that he's going to go to the Rebbe Riatz, at least for a bracha, at least for a bracha. Bracha before the chasana. So he goes to the Rebbe Riatz. It was very hard to get an appointment. He tells the Gabbai who he was, Zemba. He says, okay. The Gabbai tells him, but please don't mention your last name to the Rebbe. He might get very emotional. It might not be good for him. Okay. So the Gabbai just says, Rebbe, Ud Utzel Meyesh, Rebbe. You know, one of the embers saved from the fire, from the inferno. He's getting remarried. Rebbe, he lost his wife, lost his kinderlach. He's getting remarried. He wants the bracha from the Rebbe. And he gives him his name, the Kvittel. His name, Ben, his mother's name. And the name of the Kala, her name, Bas, her mother's name. And the Rebbe looks at the Kvittel when you're getting married. Gives him a beautiful, beautiful bracha. And the Rebbe says, what's your name? What's your last name? And looks at the Gabbai. The Gabbai is like, the Rebbe asks. He says, Zemba. He says, Zemba, which Zemba? He says, Menachem Zemba was my uncle. I met the Rebbe once before. When did we meet? The day before the Rebbe's daughter, Chaya Mushka's Chasana. I was with my uncle. He says, I remember. You did nafshi. Your uncle was one of my closest friends. He brought a nephew. You were there. Oh, my gosh. And when's the Chasana? You know, maybe the Rebbe wasn't well. He couldn't make it to the Chasana. But the Rebbe did tell him, you know, you were at my son-in-law's chasana, you have to get a bracha from my son-in-law before your chasana. He's in the Beis Medrash, a few houses away, go get a bracha from my son-in-law. He's a tremendous tzaddik. Get a bracha before your chasana. Okay? So, he thanks the Rebbe, he goes, finds Rav Menachem Mendel Schneerson, then he is actually an engineer, working at the Brooklyn Navy Yards on ships. That's what he did. His degree was in engineering from the Sorbonne. And the Rebbe, the one who we all know as the Rebbe, white beard, not a Strymel, regular hat, right? So the Rebbe was sitting and learning, and Rav Nachum Zemba's nephew goes up to him, says, excuse me, I'm here for a bracha. The Rebbe sent me, I'm getting married. And he takes a kvittel, says, you're already by the Rebbe, you don't need my bracha. The Rebbe sent you, okay. Gives him a beautiful bracha. I asked him a little bit about himself. And survivor, oh, beautiful, beautiful bracha. He walks, starting to walk away. Menachem Mendel turns around from his sefer, says, by the way, one more thing. He says, you know why the fifth night of Hanukkah is holier than any other night? He says the exact same thing. One word changes. Whether you live in Brooklyn or London, the fifth night of Hanukkah can mamish bring back the neshamas of the furthest away. Mazel tov, mazel tov. This was a little weird because it wasn't Kislev. Like, you understood before the Rebbe's chasana, Yud Gimel Kislev. Okay, gave him such a bracha. But this wasn't Yud Gimel Kislev. This was, you know, it was, I think, the springtime. The parent getting ready for a chasana after Lag BaOmer. Very strange. Okay. Fast forward, Chevra. 20 years. Rav Nachum Zemba's nephew got married, had a few kinderlach baruch Hashem, oldest is a daughter, and decides that he doesn't want to raise his kids in Brooklyn, no offense to anyone from Brooklyn. And decides that, you know, business opportunities to expand the business to go somewhere else can make it even better. And he does research and he decides he's moving to Toronto. He moves to Toronto. Very, very from neighborhood in Toronto, very business, incredibly successful there as well. And his oldest daughter gets engaged, the Kala. It's a boy learning in yeshiva in Brooklyn. And he decides that, you know, he tells his future son-in-law, next time I'm in business in New York, when I come in for some meetings, I'd like to bring you to Lubavitcher Rebbe for a bracha. You know, they're getting a bracha, of course, from the Geri Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. They were going to get a bracha from him, Avada. I believe it was still the Beis Yisrael of Geri, Rebbe Yisrael Alter. I believe it was still the Beis Yisrael. But he wanted a bracha from, you know, from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Our families go way back. I got a bracha from him before my chasana, because by this time, Menachem Mendel became Rebbe, meaning the Friedrich Rebbe passed away, mamash, within a year of him getting a bracha by before his chasana. And so next time he's in New York, he picks up his future son-in-law from the Beis Medrash. They go to 770 Eastern Parkway, and they go in with the Rebbe, and just the chasan goes in, hands a kvittel, chasan, the Gabbai announces, the Rebbe gives him a beautiful, beautiful bracha, asks him a little bit about himself. Okay, they're closing the door. The Rebbe says one more thing. The Gabbai opens the door, and this time he's just looking at Rav Menachem Zem's nephew. He says, you know why the fifth night of Hanukkah is holier than any other night? He says the exact same thing, except Brooklyn, whether you're in Toronto or London, the fifth night of Hanukkah can mamish bring back the neshamas the furthest away from Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. The Gabbai closes the door. Rav Menachem Zem's nephew turns white. His son-in-law says to him, Ta, what's going on? You okay? He says, it's the third time I heard that. He says, heard what? He said that vart about the fifth night of Hanukkah. He goes, yeah, I know, it's strange. Why is he? It's like almost the summer. Why is he sharing a Hanukkah vart? He says, I have no idea, but it's the third time. What do you mean third time? I heard it the day before the Rebbe's chasana. He says, what? He says, the day before the Rebbe's chasana, he told me this vart. What does it mean? Let's go in. The Gabbai's like, no, you can't go in. You can't go in. Okay. Fast forward a few more years. He's a grandfather, Baruch Hashem. And when his son gets engaged, he doesn't bring his son to the Rebbe for a bracha before the chasana. You know why? Because he had a Hasidish neighbor who moved in. Lives in a very wealthy part of Toronto, very, very firm part of Toronto. Hasidish Yid from a group that really is not fans of Lubavitch. And they had them over for a Suda on a Friday night, and they had a picture of all the Gary Rebbes, and the picture of the Lubavitcher Rebbes also, of the Friedrich Rebbe, and of Menachem Mendel. And this guy says, why do you have a picture of that liar and egomaniac on your wall? He's like, listen, I know you guys don't like Lubavitcher. You don't have to. No. He's a liar. You shouldn't have him on your wall. Okay, enough. I don't want to. No, really, you have to. We'll talk about it after in my study downstairs, not by my Shabbos tish, not by my Shabbos table. So after he goes, okay, what's your problem? No, I know you guys hate Lubavitch. He goes, no, he's a mamash liar and egomaniac. Was meint? He says, who are you obligated to take care of before anyone else in terms of tzedakah, in terms of chesed? Your mishpacha, right? Yeah, of course. He says, who's the Rebbe's mishpacha? Every Rebbe is mishpacha, is chasidim. He says, but yeah, you know what this Rebbe does? He sends his chassidim all over the world, mamish places without kosher food, without mikvahs, without yeshivas, without beis yakovs. Why? He wants to go bring Torah to all Jews all over. He goes, it's an Irish guy. He's an egomaniac. He just wants to be famous. He wants his picture all over the world. Because if he really was emistic, it means you keep your chassidim close to you. You should create a community around him in Crown Heights. And his chassidim should stay close. Why is he sending them to such dangerous places? Places, mamish, all over. What's going to happen to these young chassidish yingluch growing up in who knows where without any kedusha, without any tara around them? It's dangerous. Why is he doing that? Vos meint, what does it mean? He's a liar. He's an egomaniac. He thinks he's Mashiach, he's Meshugna. And he's like, okay, you're a little bit crazy. You know? But this neighbor, mamish, kept pounding away at him until he thought, you know, maybe there's something to it. Why does he do this stuff? You know, the Ger Rebbes, they don't send chassidim all over the world. They stay tight. Right? He said, Tak, it's a shayla. He took down the Rebbe's picture. When his son gets engaged, he doesn't go bring his son for bracha. It's the night before the family is leaving to England. His son is engaged to a girl from England. And there's a knock at the door. That night, he opens it. It's his chassidish neighbor. He says, oh, thank you for coming over. He said, well, I want to mazel to mazel to, but he says, hey, ma'am, I have 5 minutes of your time. I just need to talk to you for 5 minutes. Okay, let's go. Let's sit down. Look, it's a little busy, but it's okay. Just ma'am, 5 minutes. I have a quick favor. Okay, brings him into his dining room. He says, could we sit downstairs maybe in your office? It's more private. Okay, brings him down to his office. He says, what's going on? He says, where do you think my daughter, Devorah Rachel, is? I mean, Devorah Rachel, she's by your brother in Williamsburg. And the guy starts to cry. He says, Devorah Rachel ran away almost 2 years ago with a guy. He says, what? What are you talking about? He said, she started hanging out with some more modern boys, and we started fighting with her. Why is she hanging out with these modern boys? And then before we knew it, these modern boys weren't even Jewish anymore, the one she started hanging with. She used to sneak out of the house all the time. There's such fights, such screaming matches in my home. One Shabbos morning, we wake up. She's not in her bed. Okay, we don't get so nervous. whole Shabbos day nothing. We start getting nervous. Motzei Shabbos, we notice that all her jewelry is missing from her room. A lot of cash is missing from the house. And her passport's gone. We call the police to file a missing persons report. They can 24 hours, but they run the passport number. That passport number was used to leave from Pearson's International Airport in Toronto earlier that day on a flight to Europe. They were able to do more research. It was bought as a companion ticket. They had bring over a picture of the black fellow that she was flying with to Europe. Do you know who this person is? Have you ever seen him before? He said, "Mom, there's some guy. Go ahead, we have no idea who he was. But my daughter flew with him to Europe, to Amsterdam. Well, Mom should know what's going on." We hired a private eye to try and find her. Couldn't find her. It was only 8 weeks after she left. Mom, she had no idea what was going on. 8 weeks, we get a collect call. You guys don't even know what a collect call is. There used to be these things called telephone booths, public phones. And you get an operator, you can collect call, meaning that the person you're calling pays for the call. A collect call from Munich. It's our daughter. She wants to know if we can send her money. She's alive. She's alive. Chasdei Hashem. She's alive. Yes, sure. What do you need? What do you want? Can you send me? And again, Chevre, this we're talking about in the 1970s, right? We're talking about in the 70s, the late 70s. What do you need? We're going to wire you. What do you want? You send me $500. It's a lot of money. A lot of money now. Halachas kama v'kama almost 40 years ago. 40 years ago. A lot of money. Yeah, we'll wire. They wire $500. She called 6 weeks later. Now she's in Paris. I need more money. Then she called. She basically, so, Yoselin, bro, I'm so sorry. Why are you coming to me? This is because about a month ago, she said maybe even a little bit more, she called when my wife wasn't home, and she was clearly drunk or high, you know, slurring her words, "Oh, Ta, I need money." And he said something inside of me just snapped. I start screaming at her, "You're not my daughter. I don't know who you are. I'm just a banker to you. My daughter died. You know what? You don't even know how your mother cries herself to sleep every night. It's been almost 2 years. Your mother stands by the Shabbos Licht for an hour crying. Every night she cries. Your siblings cry. We're so broken. We're so sad. You know what? Do us a favor. It'd be better if you just stopped calling us. You have nothing to do with us anymore. You're like dead to me. I don't have anything to do with you anymore." He said, and I slammed down the phone. And I said, he said, it wasn't 10 seconds till I realized that I just made the biggest mistake of my life. And I started crying. I immediately picked up the operator. I said, "I just accepted a collect call. Can you ring that number that called me?" "Yes, sir." And the number just rang and rang and rang and rang till some drunk guy picked up. He says, when my wife came home and found me crying, she thought that I got news that my daughter died, that our daughter died. I told her what happened. He says, my wife didn't speak to me. Mama, she didn't say a word to me for 2 weeks. She didn't acknowledge my presence. The last place that we sent money to, we forwarded $1,000 there because she's the only one that can pick it up. It wasn't picked up because she was calling clearly she needed money. I forwarded $5,000, so $5,000. 40 years ago, $5,000. It was never picked up. She never picked it up. So Menachem Zamzevsky said, "Why are you coming to me?" He says, "Because the last place we sent money to was England. I know you're going for your son's chasna. I know you're coming back for Sheva Brachos. I have to continue it. I'll make it a little bit short. You have to come back for Sheva Brachos. But maybe you could try and find my daughter and just tell her that I mamish was insane. I'm sorry. I beg Mechila. I love her. I just want her to come home. I want to hug her. I want to kiss her. She can take the car Friday night, Lel Shabbos, drive it in and out of the driveway. I don't care. Blasting Gayusha music. I don't care. She's my daughter. I want her to just hug her. I'll give her whatever she wants. We just want to show her how much we love her. we want her just to know that how much we care. He says, listen, I'm mamish going for less than a week. I'll try, but no guarantees. He says, okay. So the next morning, before they leave, he calls his future mechutin, his future in-law, tells him, listen, I got a crazy matzav, crazy situation. Like, I need someone who does kiruv in the most disgusting, dirty places. He says, this one guy for you. He'll come. He'll meet you at the airport. I'm coming to greet you at the airport. At Heathrow, he'll be there. I'll make sure he's there. I give him a lot of money. Okay, every year. So they're there the next day. They get to Heathrow. His mechutin is there because it's before when people, mamshka, greet people coming out of the gate at an airport. And he says, you know, it's mamsh been on his mind how his neighbor's mamsh broken. And he says to the mechutin, who's the guy? He says, right over there. And he sees clearly Lubavitcher, punched in, Borsellino, scraggly beard. Tzitzis all over the place, untucked shirt. Okay, you know, oh, great. He's drinking the Kool-Aid, a brainwashed zombie, you know, but okay, what can he do? If he's the guy, he's the guy. And he pulls him over, tells him the Maisa, she went by Dvar Racha. I don't know what she goes by now. I can't imagine it's that. Brings a picture of her. He says, okay, I'll try. Where are you staying? This hotel? What's enough? Okay, we'll be in touch. But what am I telling her? Tell her that her husband, father, loves her, parents love her, wanna whatever it is, to hug her, kiss her. Okay. Chasana happens, a couple of Shev Brachas there, then they're going back for the rest of Shev Brachas to Toronto. The kids already leave, it's just him and his wife. One more Shev Brachas in England, then they're going back to Canada for a couple of more. And what happens is they go back to their hotel, the concierge runs over him. Mr. Zemba, urgent message for you, urgent message, sir. He looks at it. It's the name of this Lubavitch rabbi and a number. Urgent. Calls a number. He says, Mrs. Emba, yeah. He says, you have to come to my house tonight at 8 o'clock. He says, what are you talking about? He goes, I found her. When I told her I have a message from her father, she tried to kill me. Bali goes, without exaggeration. But then I mentioned, she goes, how do you know him? What? He says, Mr. Zemba, I don't know your father, never met him, but Mr. Zemba from Toronto told me, and all of a sudden she changed. She goes, Mr. Zemba, he's here, you know him? He says, his son got married to a supporter of mine's daughter. He's here, he told you, he says, Mr. Zemba, I want to hear it from Mr. Zemba himself. The Zembas were already always special people. I loved going to their home. I want to hear it from him directly. She's going to be in my house 8 o'clock tonight. Please do not be late. I'm afraid if she shows up at 8 and you're not there, I don't know what's going to happen. Please, please. Okay, goes to Shavu Brachos at night with his wife, goes to his mechutin. He goes, I got to get to this address. He goes, who is it? That's familiar. It's Lubavitcher. You need to get to his house? My driver will take you. It's mamish on the other side of town. He goes, I have to be there by 8. He goes, you have to leave now, mamish. He runs him out. He goes, I'll make sure your wife gets to the airport with all your baggage. Don't worry. And the chasana kala. Just meet me at the airport. You're not going to have time. It's mamsh the other side of town. So he gets in the car. The driver's taking him there at 7:50, 7:58, 8:02, 8:05. He's getting there 8:07. He jumps out. He sees the Lubavitcher guy's like walking in front of his front door. He sees Mr. Zemba, runs down to bring him up. She's here. You got to come in quick. And right before he goes in, he just stops. He goes, one thing. Says, you're not about to see a Hasidish Beis Yaakov girl. I don't know the last time you saw the picture you showed me. The picture I have looks nothing like her. Oh, just be warned. And he says, okay. He walks in and he says, Dvar Rachel. And she turns around and he said, like, thank God he was warned. Mamish. He wouldn't have recognized her. Mamish dressed like a Zona process. He goes, Mamish, he couldn't believe that this was the Hasidish girl who grew up next to Mamish. And she says, you have a message from my father? And he said, Mamish, she saw such pain. He himself, he started to cry. He said, Dvar Rachel, your father's broken. We both know your father has a temper. He lost it. He loves you. Your mother, they're broken. Please, Dvar Rachel, just call them. They'd love to see you, whatever it is. You're their child. They love you unconditionally. They'll do anything for you. And she starts to cry. And she tells him, she says, when are you going back to Toronto? He says, tonight. She says, do you think you could get me a ticket on the plane with you? He says, what? She says, you have no idea where I've been. The things that I've done. I feel so embarrassed, so disgusting. the thought of just being able to sit at a Shabbos table, to be benched by my father and my mother on a Friday night, the chance to sit around with my siblings, to sing, like, I would give anything for that again. You think, my father would pay you back for the ticket? He says, of course. Yeah, come with me to the airport. You want to go? She goes, I just want to go home. I want to be back. I want to go back. This is horrific. I've been there enough. What about a passport? She goes, I always carry my passport with me in case they need it to identify my body. I have no idea what's going to happen to me. I want to just go home. And she says, I'm sorry I'm dressed like this. I wish I could change. And right there, the Lubavitch Rebbetzin hears that. She's like, oh, one of my daughters is here. Come upstairs. I think I have, you know. He turns to say thank you to this Lubavitch Rav. And if you haven't figured out yet, there's a menorah in the window. It's the fifth night of Hanukkah. And where is he? He's in London. And he mamish falls onto the couch. He mamish turns white. He can't believe this. He's in London on the fifth night of Hanukkah, and a neshama that was in mamish the dirtiest, darkest place, just came back like that. And when he gets back to Toronto, calls over his neighbor and wife to come over. They have news. I have news about your daughter. Is it bad? She's alive. Just come over. They come over. They see the daughter dressed like a Jewish girl. Mamish, they lose it, they start crying. He tells Menachem Zemba's nephew, whatever you want, we're both wealthy men, whatever amount, whatever tzedakah, it's yours. You have to tell me what. He says, okay, when I get back. He goes, what do you mean get back? You just got back. He says, no, I'm going to see Lubavitcher Rebbe right now. We'll talk when I get back. He went right back to the airport, got on a flight to LaGuardia, got out of the terminal, got in the cab, said 770 Eastern Parkway, and mom just pushed his way. He asked the guy, the Rebbe's there? Yeah, okay. And he pushed his way in. He's with anyone? No, okay. And the Rebbe was writing a letter, lifted up, and he said, for the fourth time in my life, I felt those blue eyes like peering inside of me. And he said, I couldn't say anything. I started to tear up. And then finally, when I could talk, I said, what are you? I said, are you a malach? Are you a shade? Are you a navi? What are you? How did you know 50 years ago? How did you know 50 years ago, the day before your chasana, 1928, 50 years ago, you told me what's going to happen last night in London? How did you know? Warsaw, London, Brooklyn, London, Toronto, how did you know? And Lubavitcher Rebbe tells him, it wasn't me. If you remember, my shver, the Friedrich Rebbe, sent you to me twice. My father-in-law, he said, you should know, was a Baal Ruach HaKodesh Mamish. That's what the Rebbe said. It was all my father-in-law. He was a Baal Ruach HaKodesh Mamish. Again, whether you believe that or not, okay, that's... But then the craziest thing happens. This is the craziest part. This is what he claims the Rebbe said. The Rebbe said to him, but now I want you to do a favor for me. Maybe now you can explain to my neighbor why I send my chassidim all over the world. You know why? Because to me, every Jewish boy and girl are like my son and my own daughter. You know, the Rebbe himself never had children. He said, they're like my son and my daughter. Your neighbor now knows, for family, for your children, you will do anything, you will go anywhere. And so my chassidim, it's their brothers and sisters that are lost. And for their brothers and sisters, they'll go to the ends of the world to bring them back. Maybe now your neighbor can understand why we do the things that we do in Lubavitch. Mazel tov, mazel tov. And then he was pushed out of the room. I read the story after the Rebbe died. Rav Menachem Zemba's nephew published the story. He put it out there. And he said, I never was a Lubavitcher chassid, never will be a Lubavitcher chassid. I'm a chassid of the Imre Emes. I was a chassid of the Beis Yisrael. I was a chassid of the Pnei Menachem. I'm a chassid of the Leib. I'm a chassid of the Ger Rebbes. Mashiach, not Mashiach. I don't know these crazy debates. But one thing I know. The Lubavitcher Rebbe Zechusa Yogen Olanu had the greatest Avos Yisrael of any Jew I ever met. he mamish looked at every Jew like they were his children. He mamish loved every one of us. And that, he wrote, is who I miss and who I mourn for. So that's what the fifth night of Hanukkah is. It's a crazy mice about Avos Yisrael and the Lubavitcher Rebbe, but also, Chevi, understand that Hanukkah is mamish, the deepest of the deep. Hanukkah is when the Shechina goes, the only time of the year Shechina goes below Ten Tvachim, to bring back the neshamas that are mamish in the lowest and the darkest places. Kedyontif, kedyontif.